Empower Radio presents Art as Worship with Vanessa Lowry.
Welcome to Art as Worship. Each week, we feature stories of artists and explore their process of creation. I'm your host, Vanessa Lowry, and I'm thankful that you're joining me. On this show, I talk with artists of various faiths working in a wide range of mediums on the common theme of how they use inspiration and creativity as an expression of their spirituality. Learn how their art is an expression of their own connection to however they name God, Jehovah, Allah, Source, the universe, the great mystery, or something else. My hope is that these stories will inspire your creative efforts and your own spiritual expression. My guest today is Roz Zollinger. She has an international reputation for her therapeutic work and instruction in reflexology and aromatherapy, and has 20 years' experience in the practice and teaching of these modalities. Roz qualified in reflexology through the South African Institute of Reflexology in Johannesburg, and then she trained in aromatherapy with the Institute of Clinical Aromatherapy in London. She's subsequently pursued advanced aromatherapy studies in California at the Pacific Institute of Aromatherapy and has taken the International Training Program in Essential Oils at Purdue University in Indiana. Roz founded the Heal Center in Atlanta, which has since gained national reputation for its therapeutic services and instruction. She teaches a variety of courses and workshops at the Heal Center and lectures at regional and national conferences. She's also developed the Body Systems Method of Reflexology and Aromatherapy, which stresses the interaction of all bodily systems and addresses the physical, emotional, and spiritual well-being of the individual. Roz, welcome. Thank you for coming today.
Thank you, Vanessa.
Well, and you and I have actually known each other for a number of years, and I met you through taking your reflexology class, mm-hmm. and then my husband took your aromatherapy class.
Right.
And so we've been really fortunate to be able to have the benefit of your teaching. So how did you get interested in reflexology and aromatherapy? And we're kind of putting this in the healing arts,
mm-hmm.
so kind of talking about art as a healing art.
So. Yes. I got interested a long time before I actually studied, just wanting to connect with people and use my hands and be instrumental in people's growth. I found reflexology and studied in 1984. So I figured it out the other day. It's been 28 years.
Wow.
Time moves very quickly. Aromatherapy came right after that, and I think both of these are just a tremendous passion to me.
Well, and I know that you grew up in South Africa, and that's where you're from, and mm-hmm. even with taking your class, you said that was such a more common modality mm-hmm. there than it has been in the United States
right,
up until
right.
just recently when it started becoming more common.
It's a little more grassroots here, but it's definitely growing. It's taking its place slowly. But yes, South Africa, I think, follows Europe in the trends, and so it's much more accepted. But I feel the growth happening every day.
Well, and you teach so many people both reflexology and aromatherapy. At what point did you decide to take the knowledge that you had gained and turn that into being a teacher and teaching other people?
Actually, honestly, I didn't decide to do that. I think the universe, people around me decided I should do that. I came to Atlanta in 1989 thinking I'd have my practice as I had in South Africa, never thinking I would teach. I connected with a center in Roswell over here, and there was no one teaching in Atlanta. The International Institute came once a year, but there was no comprehensive courses here. And aromatherapy was a baby at that point. And so, yeah, I started my journey teaching little by little. It grew from a few weeks. It grew until now I have 200 hours of reflexology, and it's getting to that point in aromatherapy too. And I never realized how much I'd love it. I really love it.
Well, and everybody that I meet in Atlanta that has taken, you know, that tells me that they've taken a course in reflexology, they always have taken your course. They always know who you are. So
there are two of us teaching in Atlanta. Yeah, but that's helped my reputation too. Just working at it and inspiring others.
And yeah. I know you do a lot of work also with the massage schools that mm-hmm. are based here in Atlanta. That you
right.
teach a segment of their course on reflexology as well.
I do. I teach 24 hours as an intro. at two massage schools. I used to teach at three, but it became a little too intense. So two massage schools, but I have also a team of teachers under me too. I can't be everywhere.
That's right.
Yeah.
So I'm interested in how, you know, this healing art that you have obviously been a part of for such a long time, how that has impacted your spiritual evolution and how your spiritual evolution has impacted your art of healing.
Yeah, you're right. I think it works both ways. I think what really changed my work was studying esoteric or energy healing, which was sort of right after I studied reflexology and aromatherapy. And that completely shifted the way I viewed the world. Working on people think that I love feet because I work on the feet, but I love the connection that the feet gives me to the soul of the person. And to me, that's very, very spiritual. I'm working through the divine, through source, is the word that I choose to use a lot. I work through that energy and reach the soul of the person. So it's very deep. And it's the same with essential oils in aromatherapy. The oils have their own energy. They're vibrational. And they reach very deep into a person's needs. So I can't separate spirituality in my work.
So it sounds like the way that you work with people now with your clients is a little different than maybe what it was when you first started your practice in South Africa.
Yes, absolutely. It's evolved. It's evolved from being a little bit more mechanical, really just using the technique, to using the technique to deeply affect that person on a physical, spiritual, and emotional level. So it's become, I think it's progressed into much more of a spiritual work. People come to me for a variety of reasons. It could be very physical, could be a digestive problem, hormonal issue, infertility, but there's a deeper reason that they have those. So I try with my work to reach that deeper reason.
So when you're getting ready to work with a client, do you have a practice that you do to connect with them before you put your hands on them or before you create an oil for them? Can you describe what that is?
Yes, and I think you might remember that. I use a little mantra that I got from my energy teacher. And as I'm putting the oil on my hands to put on their feet, if I'm doing reflexology, I silently say, I honor the light and the life within you, and I'm grateful to share the space in love with you. And I'm just aware of touching them, but really touching God, touching Source to help me help them. And that's become another mantra. When my clients have a lot going on, a lot of issues, I can't promise to cure, to treat. But my little mantra within me is help me help them. Help me help them, because I'm not alone. I'm just an instrument in this. So, that's usually what I use.
And so do you have a different type of mantra that you use when you're creating a blend for somebody with an aromatherapy blend?
Pretty much the same. I don't really honor the light and the life because I'm usually not touching them as much as just creating the blend. But I try as much as I can to make a blend with the best of intentions. I will not blend for people if I'm not in a good space. So I have to be in a really good space to make that blend and put my heart into it, put my intentions into it. And whatever is right and good is going to happen. I don't put demands on what the work should do. They will receive it, and their higher self knows what to do with that.
Well, and I love that comment that you, if you're not in a good space, that mm-hmm. you won't work on somebody, that you
right.
won't create a blend for them. What kind of things do you do to get yourself in a good space?
That's a good question. Most of the time, I'm okay. I'm in a good space. But if I have a lot going on personally, I need to retreat a little bit. I need to walk. I need to get fresh air. I need to meditate. I need to listen to music. But it usually doesn't last very long. And actually doing the work puts me in a good space. So
if you're not in a good space, if you start doing the work, sometimes
exactly.
it can lift you to a better space.
Definitely, because I'm getting the energy as well as my clients.
Well, and I know you've got a new grandbaby that's just not quite a year old
yes,
now.
11 months.
So how does that affect your energy to have that new grandbaby close by?
It's amazing. It's awesome. And it's a little tiring sometimes, but I love it. I love it. And I see him as an extension of all this love that I have to give. And we relate so well. I know there's this relationship between us. So I help out as much as I can. You know, he gets the benefit of getting his feet rubbed and getting his aromatherapy blends. It's awesome. It's an honor, actually. It's a real honor that I can be involved.
Well, and I know when I took the reflexology class mm-hmm. with you, that one of the other people that was in the class with me, Nicolene, yeah. had a very young child at the time that was having trouble sleeping. And I remember, you know, us having discussions about the different, and she was also taking your aromatherapy right. at the same time.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
we talked about, I remember us having discussions about the kind of oils that she could use mm-hmm. with him to settle him down at night. And
right.
he actually got to the point that he would lay on the bed and hold his feet up.
Exactly.
So he was ready for his feet to be rubbed before he took a nap. So.
I know. It's very different working on babies, but it's so beautiful. I can't do that much on his feet yet, little bits. But we had essential oils going in the labor delivery room. He has his blends for sleep, his massage blend, his colic blend. His little eczema blend when he was young. So, yeah, it's nothing. It's, you know, I'm so happy that my children, his parents, will use them. And they're very open to it. They call me first, and then they'll see a doctor if that's not working. So, yeah, it's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Well, and it's such a natural way to address different issues that are going on in the body.
It is.
And
it is.
Resolve them more holistically, if possible, before other steps are taken.
Right, exactly. And it smells good, too.
That's right. And it smells good,
it's
too.
It's complaining.
So I would love for you to talk a little bit more about, you mentioned earlier about the vibrations of the different oils and mm-hmm. the different plants and the types of things that they get the oil from. Can you talk a little bit more about that vibrational aspect of the things around us and the oils that you use?
Right. Well, the oils that I use come from plants, trees, roots. You know, essential oils are extracted through distillation from these plants. So the plants have their own energy, their own vibration. I don't work that much on the vibratory sphere, I guess, with aromatherapy, but understanding the chemical structure of the plants and what they do in the human body and mind and psyche. There are about 120 essential oils. When I teach it, I teach about 65, 70 essential oils, putting them into categories of their sedating or stimulating, analgesic. But the oils have energy. There's always something that can help a person. They're my friends. You know, they're the first thing I turn to if I have a headache, if I have pain, if I have, you know, whatever's going on. I will turn to my essential oils and then to herbs and homeopathics. And if I need to take medicine, I'll take medicine. But they do. Roses, for instance, have the highest vibration of all flowers. And apparently even being in a room with beautiful fresh roses changes the energy because they heal on a very deeply spiritual level.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
Well, and I know that I've had the benefit of having both oils that you've blended and oils that my husband has blended
exactly.
for things, you know, from allergies to headaches to he actually made a blend for my mom for what she calls her blinks. She said, it's not really a hot flash. It's more just a blink.
Aww.
So, you know, it is amazing the different things you can do with the oils
mm-hmm.
that are very non-invasive.
Right.
And they do smell good.
Exactly. Exactly.
A little extra bonus.
Yes.
So do you have, you do a lot of teaching.
Mm-hmm.
I know that you do a lot of teaching in addition
mm-hmm.
to the client work that you do. Do you approach your teaching differently than when you're getting ready to go into a classroom and teach than you do when you're working one-on-one with someone?
It is different. There's a different part of me that comes out with teaching. I realize that. Teaching to me is truly seeing my students as they are and inspiring them to become who they already know they are, the potential that they have within them. And it's so satisfying. I was thinking about that, thinking about this interview of just, you know, what my classes do for me is just I learn as much as they do. And I really give them the respect they deserve and encourage them. So I'm teaching a skill, but more than anything, I think it's an essence that we're sharing that makes the biggest difference. So it is a different mode. It's a different mode, but it's the same thing. It's, you know, teaching individually with a client or teaching in a group or standing up and lecturing. Basically, you're inspiring them to find what's in their soul. So
supporting that inspiration. Mm-hmm. And I know, you know, from my experience of your class that you have a structure and you have a format that we follow and make sure we cover everything. But there are a lot of discussions and there's a lot of things that come up that maybe don't come up in every one of your classes. I don't know. I mean, it seems like it's such a fresh discussion.
Every group is unique. Every group has their own discussions, their own energy, their bonding, and there's always a reason, a synchronicity for why groups get together. And that's a big part of it as well. So, yes, I honor that.
Yeah. Well, and one of the things that when Ben took your aromatherapy class, one of the things he told me, I think it was your last class, that everyone in the class picked one of their favorite oils and they did a blend that had everyone's oil in it.
Exactly.
That was really, he was so appreciative of that, of being able to take a little bit of everybody back with him after spending these weeks in class with everybody for so long.
That's beautiful. And I think we did that because I have a lot of Japanese students, and one student was going back to Japan and it was really hard for her. So we put our essence in the bottle. And it was beautiful, and I've done it ever since in my classes. It's beautiful. Yeah. Or what I do often now is I put names at the end of the class. I put all the students' names in a bowl, and everybody chooses a name, and they will blend for that person based on how they see them, on the positive aspects that they see in them. And that's beautiful. That's so beautiful.
That's amazing.
Yeah. It keeps growing. It keeps changing.
Well, and I know a lot of your students stay in touch with you long after they've taken classes. And and you also were one of the people that founded the Georgia Reflexology Organization, that you're one of the co-founders of that, which is a support for people that have taken reflexology on an ongoing basis.
Exactly. Exactly. Yes. I was vice president of that organization. Co-Tan, the other teacher, was president for 13 years. We've just given that up. We still belong to Georgia Reflexology.
But it's time for somebody else to take it over.
It was time for fresh energy.
That's right.
Yeah. But it has its place, and it's a place that people can come and gather information and share.
So I'm interested in when you're creating, going back to the aromatherapy and the blends, how do you come up with ideas of what blends you should create?
It depends on the person. Partly is the knowledge of what the oils do, so I base it on that, and partly the intuition of my gut feeling that says, this is right for you. I put them together into a synergy, really feeling that person's spirit as much as I can. So it's a beautiful challenge in a way. And I really do enjoy doing personalized blending and just tuning into that person. But knowing what to do and knowing how the oils work is really important.
Well, and you also have some kind of blends that are good for particular ailments that are a little more universal. Did those come about because you did a blend specifically for someone and then decided this could
be
available?
Exactly. I think, you know, the biggest seller that I have at the moment that I can never keep enough of is my pain and inflammation blend that tells you about society and what we're working through. But that evolved through working on someone, working on myself, into a really amazing blend. I have it in a lotion base with a lot of infused herbs. The moon mantra, which is the hormonal balance oil, is very popular. The unwind for deep relaxation, who doesn't need that?
That's right.
Yeah. So there are some common oils, you know, or blends that really people need. People keep asking for energy cleansing, the spray that I make for energy cleansing, or for the immune system in winter. So, yes, I have probably about 17 or 18 blends that I make all the time to sell when I have time.
And I know you do an allergy blend because I've gotten that blend before, which was wonderful you know, when pollen season is at its height to be able to.
Exactly, to strengthen the immune system and to help the respiratory system. Yeah, people don't understand aromatherapy. They think mainly fragrance, candles, glaze, plug-ins, but it's a medicinal field. And in parts of the world, it's used as medicine. They take it as medicine by mouth. So we use it more topically, but it's going right into the system.
And I know that you discourage your clients from taking it by mouth just because people would think, oh, if one drop's good,
exactly.
10 drops is better,
exactly.
Which might really be bad.
It could be very bad. Yes, it could be very bad.
So I know that you teach your creative process to people.
Mm-hmm.
So can you describe some things that you tell your students about, you know, connecting into that divine source? I know you just mentioned your mantra. Do you have some other things that you teach to people about how they can connect into that flow when they're mm-hmm. wanting to work with their clients?
I think what I do most of all is stress the importance of being totally present with your clients. Because if you're not present, if your mind is wandering, if you're in an ego state, it's not going to work. And some of my students have that, and some really don't, but they're trying. And it's being, well, being present and also just being able to tune in, be able to listen beyond their words. That's really important too. So reading body language, reading their eyes a little bit, because people will come in and say something. Their words are saying one thing, but their heart is saying another thing.
Right.
And one has to learn. That takes up some experience, is to learn to tune in to the deeper meaning of what is behind their words. But being present and being committed to what you're doing is very important. I think that's the main aspect of it.
Well, and I don't really do any aromatherapy now, but for mm-hmm. several years I did. And
yeah.
I found that the clients that would come to me regularly were more interested in that. It felt like they were more interested in that tuning in to have mm-hmm. somebody to really listen to them
right.
while I worked on them, as opposed
right.
to the work itself, that
exactly.
it was very much a connected together.
It is. And I find that particularly with reflexology. I'm working on the feet, maybe sometimes feet and hands. The person is relaxing. And at the end of that, they get up and they think, wow, you know, this is so much deeper. I feel completely different. I'm in touch with myself. Sometimes things come up which are not easy for them, but it's part of the process of letting go. So, yeah, it's not just a mechanical thing for me. It's so, so deep.
Well, and you do, I mean, you've done this for so long, and you have worked on people with all kinds of different illnesses and ailments. And I remember you talking about work that you've done on folks that are going through cancer and
right.
chemotherapy, and some of the kind of shielding that you do mm-hmm. to protect yourself with that. Can you describe what that is, what kind of things you do to protect your energy from things that might be coming from someone else?
Right. Well, and that's a good question. The first thing in the morning that I do when I get out of bed is I do a meditation where I imagine the light coming through into me and then surrounding me with a bubble of light, so that I can be compassionate. I can be everything I am, but I don't have to draw in their energy. But, you know, we're all human, and sometimes you're working on someone, particularly on the feet. And you're picking up, I pick up their pain, whether it's emotional, physical, I'm really feeling them. However, at the moment that I pull away from that person, I don't take it in. I let it go. There are people who will still affect me because it's mirroring something in me that needs to be healed. So those are the more difficult experiences, but it's all part of this whole healing experience through life. But one has to protect oneself because, you know, if you come from an egotistical, and we all do that sometimes, but your ego steps in and you want to help that person, that's when you start receiving their energy. So it's just about letting go, letting God. Letting go, letting God, and just use me. Use me. I'm a channel. I'm here for them. So that's when I do my best work, is when I let go.
So when you find that you are holding on to something, and like you said, you realize that it's mirroring something in yourself, have you been doing this long enough now that it's easy for you to figure out what that is mirroring? Or?
Yes, absolutely. It might take me a while, but I get there. No, most of the time, I know straight away. Other times, you know, there have been clients that have come to me that have really, really severe things going on, and sometimes abuse, and they talk to me, and that's very hard for me. So that's when it would affect me a little bit more. But, one just has to learn how to protect yourself and how not to become emotionally involved so that we can help them, too.
Well, and I'm going to take just a little bit different spin, and I know that you're the mother of artists as well.
Yes, I am.
So how was that parenting artist? You've got a son that's a classical guitarist, mm-hmm. and then you've got a son that's a painter.
He's a sculptor. Actually, he does all mediums. He's into photography right now. Interesting, because ever since they were very little, they grew up in South Africa until they were 9 and 11. They showed an interest in art. So we took them to extracurricular art classes. They did pottery. They did clay. They did all sorts of mediums, just extra classes to encourage their creativity. My husband always did stained glass and different hobbies. I think that really stayed with them. It's not an easy journey being an artist in this world, I think. And I look at them and I know they're following their heart and their passion. But, it's taking one step at a time. But I'm very, very proud. And, you know, it's beautiful to maintain this very close relationship and be able to share with them.
Well, and I find as I'm talking to more and more artists that there's so many artists that understand this this healing connection to art as well. And mm-hmm. I find that often artists have some sort of training or have explored healing modalities
as well.
And I know your son, Michael, who's the classical guitarist, works with you at the Heal Center as a massage therapist.
Yeah, massage therapist. And he would never admit it, but the energy that comes through his hands is remarkable. All his clients tell him that. He's very humble. But I think it's the same energy of playing music and touching his guitar and tuning into his soul, because that's what projected his soul. I think he uses the body in that sense. Every body is a different instrument to be finely tuned and to be healed in a way. Yeah, so it's an extension to him. My oldest son never followed the healing arts, although he always loved receiving it. But to him, creativity is what it's about. You know, he's just the most incredible creative person in so many ways. So, I see that as part of his, it's a big part of his journey. It's who he is. You can't separate it.
Well, and how do our listeners find you and buy your aromatherapy blends and set up appointments to come in for reflexology and take your classes? How would they find you?
Either through my website, which is healcenteratlanta.com. That's H-E-A-L, not H-E-E-L. or by calling my phone number. The business number is 404-303-0007.
That's great.
Yes.
So, Roz, is there any last thing that you would like to tell our listeners about this topic of spirituality and art and healing before we leave?
I think mostly follow your heart. You know, just listen to what your heart is saying and follow your heart, and you'll make the right decision and choose the right path. So it's about the heart. It's about love. That's all there is love and kindness.
Well, thank you so much for being with us today. It's been really a gift to have you on. And
thank you,
you know,
Vanessa.
As Ben says, Roz is just pure light. So it's great to have you here in the studio
with us.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
And it's really been an interesting show. And thank you again to Roz Zollinger of the Heal Center here in Atlanta. And tell them one more time where your website is.
It's www.healcenteratlanta.com.
And it's H-E-A-L.
H-E-A-L.
That's
Center.
Great.
Yes.
Thank you. And thank you to our listeners. I welcome your suggestions and the comments on this or any of our shows. You can find links to all of our shows on Empower Radio and on our website, artasworship.net. Please come share your stories of artist worship on our Facebook page at facebook.com/artistworship or suggest an artist that we should interview. Listen in next week as we talk with another artist about their creative process and how it connects with their spiritual journey. May you have an inspired and creative week. Namaste.